Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. May all honor, glory, and praise be unto thee, our God, as we have gathered ourselves together in this evening hour, that we might worship thee and to bring honor to thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that we might look to thee for a blessing as only thou canst give. We pray that you use thy lips of clay to bring your message through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that thy words that go forth might be directed and led by thee. And we promise to give all praise, honor, and glory to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Like to turn to a scripture that's been on my heart and the Lord has laid upon me to read and meditate upon this evening hour. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. Realizing we had that Sunday afternoon, beginning with verse 1 through verse 13. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote aforetime in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, and whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And unto me who am least than, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known, or to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. This first portion of this chapter 3 is what has inspired me, even after last Sunday afternoon's message. This portion here, it talks about, in verse 2 is what really struck with me, was, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. And this dispensation of the grace of God is the thing that really touched my heart, really got me thinking and praying and asking what the Lord would lead in that respect. We know of the dispensation that we're living within, the dispensation of grace is known as. But Here he talks about the dispensation of grace, the grace of God, which is given me to you word. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians several times was concerning this grace that we're familiar with. In the previous chapter, he talks about the riches and the mercy of God. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace you are saved. And then he goes on to say that, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so he emphasizes this grace that we're familiar with, and sometimes I wonder if we can really grasp and understand the full meaning of the dispensation of grace. Now, this dispensation, the word derives from dispense. And we know what a dispenser is. If you've ever been on the highway and you've ever stopped at a rest area, and they have many times they have the where you can get drinks, you can get snacks, you can get, and those are all in dispensers. And so you put your money in, you get, it dispenses whatever item you want to buy. Here, the Apostle Paul is being used as a dispenser. And that's why he said here, which is given to me to you word. So he looks at himself as a steward of the manifold grace of God. A steward is one that is given the responsibility to carry something on. And that's this grace that he's writing about, that he is encouraging us with, as well as the Ephesians, in the many writings that he has. Not only with the church of Ephesus, but he talks about it in many of the other churches that he wrote letters to. And so we look at this as the grace that saves us. It's only by God's mercy and his grace that any of us have ever been called, have ever been come to the knowledge of the truth, have ever been baptized, have ever been become a child of God. It's only through his grace and his mercy. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn our salvation. That's why he says that for not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the Apostle Paul was given the responsibility to dispense this news, if you will, throughout the churches, especially here in Ephesus. Now, when he had his missionary journey to the church in Ephesus, he found there that there was full of idolatry. They worshiped all kind of gods. And if you remember with the story in the book of Acts where he came to the Mars Hill, and there he found them superstitious, as he calls it, worshiping all sorts of gods, even having a place where there was the unknown God. And so he pointed out and revealed to them who this unknown God, they don't even know who is. And so you can see this, how far off they were from the basis of grace and mercy that Christ had brought. You see, they were, it says in John that Moses came and brought the law, but grace and mercy came by Jesus Christ. And this was the thing that the Apostle Paul was given the responsibility to portray and to bring forth, the message of Jesus Christ and the grace that he brings when he came. The grace of God is given unto us to this very day and age. And so when we read about him being this dispenser of the grace, if you will, the steward of this, he goes on to say then, as he says here, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So you see, this was somewhat of a mystery. The only reason it was a mystery, because they have not heard this before. That's why he says here, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So you see, in the beginning, this mystery, they weren't familiar with this. As he goes on to say, as it now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, and we got to realize that he's dealing with the Jews here. Many, many times when he writes his ways, he's dealing with the Jews that wouldn't accept this way of through the Holy Spirit. They were still bent on the law. This is what they knew. This is what they was raised up to know. And so he had a hard time grasping this. And when he was also dispensed to be the minister and the teacher to the Gentiles. And so he tried then to bring them together, to unite them as one, as he talks about it many times, that we're one in Christ. You're neither Jew, you're nor Gentile, you're nor male, female, Scythian or whatever, anything like that. No, we are all one in Jesus Christ. And this is the message that he had to convey to them in Ephesus so that they would understand and grasp. And he looked at himself as a steward of God's word in this way. And so he goes on to point out then that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, they didn't want to accept the Gentiles, the Greeks as they called them. There are some of the Jews even claimed that he'd polluted the temple because he brought Greeks into the temple. Nothing more than Gentiles. And they were down on him. They was against him for these very reasons, because they were so set on their ways of the law of Moses. And it didn't bring grace and mercy. The law didn't have that. There was no way. And so he goes on, point out, and he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So he again points out, he's given this as a ministry. He was a minister of this gospel message, this message of grace and mercy. And that's what he's bringing and encouraging us here. And he goes on to say, unto me who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So realizing and understanding how he persecuted the church, how he was so against this sect, if you will, as they called it. And he was down on, and he punished men, women, and children for following in this way. And I don't doubt for a minute that this comes back to him from time to time. And that's why he says, I am less than the least. Feeling very, very down and humbled, if you will. And we can relate to that. Those of us that have lived in sin before we was converted, and we know what our life was before, and once we become converted, can feel very the same way, that we are undeserving of this grace and this mercy that he talks about here. But he goes on to say, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And when you think about, he said, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I had to think, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? When someone says to you that the riches of Christ are unsearchable, what comes to your mind? Well, there's probably a number of things that come to our mind. To begin with, the great love of God. One of the mysteries, how he can love even someone like the Apostle Paul, what kind of a sinner he was. Is it any wonder that there's a mystery to this? And how he could love that way. And not only love, but show his mercy, his patience, his understanding. All of these things to me are unsearchable riches of God. And sometimes we can't understand it. We almost can't grasp the meaning of all the blessings and the richness that God brings to us. And we take for granted sometimes. We just like accept it and hey, I'm a Christian. I should get the riches. No, we don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve any of this. But only by the grace of God do we get and are blessed by our Heavenly Father. And these are the riches, unsearchable riches, that are given from our Heavenly Father. And so he said, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And there he brings it out again. This mystery was hid from all those before Christ. And when Christ came, he brought in this dispensation. He brought in to disperse the grace of God. That's why John writes that he brought grace and mercy, came by Jesus Christ. That's the dispensation. And so we have that today. That's for what? Over 2,000 years now. Men have believed in Jesus Christ and have accepted the riches, unsearchable riches of God. And as a result, you and I are recipients of those blessings, if you will, as well as the unsearchable riches. And so he made it, as he says, make known all of these things unto those that are created by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So he refers to the church as those that have believed, those that have made a covenant with God, those that have been baptized. That's you and I, that brothers and sisters, that's you and I. We're part of that church. And so we have been given this knowledge. We have been given this mystery, if you will. We have been blessed with the unsearchable riches of God because we're a part of this church. And that's what he's pointing out here, that these have been made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We understand, we begin to know what is the wisdom of God. We begin to understand that when we become converted and we live our godly lives to please him. We begin to understand his character, his love for us. And that's why Christ taught us to love one another, so that we can exercise those unsearchable riches among each other. That's the importance of this unsearchable riches that the Apostle Paul was given to talk, to bring and teach the churches. Write these words down, and here they are preserved for us ages later, for us to grasp and understanding what is the meaning of the grace of God, what is the meaning of his mercy, his love. It's hard to comprehend. It's mystic, as if you will. It's almost a mystery why he would do this for us. And it's only because he has created us. He created us for a purpose. We can read in the second chapter there, for we are his workmen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's why we're here. That's why we've been created. That's why we've accepted the plan of salvation, because we have been given this responsibility. So I look at this as, yes, we, every one of us individuals that have been converted and become one of God's children, we have a responsibility for the same stewardship to bring forth that gospel message of grace and mercy that God has given us. Share that with others. We can read in Peter, where he writes in the fourth chapter, verse 10, and every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards. And Christ talked about stewards. We know the parables, how he had stewards. He dealt out the talents to different ones, and they were given a responsibility, not all the same. Some 10, some 5, one only got one. We don't all have the same capabilities, but we all are given something. And we are stewards of God's grace, and we need to share that one with another. Encourage one another. That's why it's so important for us to love one another, serve one another, as Paul writes and teaches us, not only here in the book of Ephesians, but many of the other gospels that he, or epistles that he wrote. And so, as we look at this here and begin to understand this manifold wisdom of God, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Boldness and confidence. Do you and I, brother and sister, have that boldness and that confidence that we can be stewards of this gospel message? It takes boldness. But you can't have that boldness unless you've got the confidence to go with it. And if you're confident enough to believe that God has saved you and that you are a follower of his, and you believe that you're his disciple, that you're following in his ways, you live a godly life, then you need to have that confidence. And once you have that confidence, you will be able to do with boldness, bring forth that gospel message, which is grace and mercy that he talks about here. The only way we can have that confidence is through maybe experiences. We've gone through things in our lives, and we realize that, oh my, God was definitely in that. God definitely helped me through this. That boosts our confidence. That boosts our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and the living God. And it boosts our confidence. And when our confidence is boosted, then, only then, can we have the boldness to come and be a good steward of God's gospel message. That's the way it's done. And this is the way this is why he writes about it. And it all has to be, as he says, accessed with confidence by the faith of him. So it all boils down to having the faith in Jesus Christ that we need. And wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And so he encourages the believers, faint not. Faint not. Have confidence in what God has given you. Have confidence in what you know. Have confidence in what you understand of God's word. Believe and have faith and continue to trust him. These are all parts of the riches, unsearchable riches, that God gives us. And I believe every one of us can claim them since we have been converted and since we have become one of his children. My friend outside of Christ, if you don't understand these kinds of things, we've got counselors that are more than willing to explain it and help you to understand it. It's not a hard way. It's a simple gospel message. Simple trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and live your life accordingly. And this is what I believe he's saying unto us here, that we faint not by his, and then he talks about his tribulations for them, which is, he says, your glory. And so he went through a lot. He went through a lot to bring this gospel message, to be this steward. He suffered beatings. He suffered all sorts of tribulations. And he calls it their glory, that they might know and they might understand what is the mystery and the deep meanings and the understanding what grace and mercy is all about. So I believe that we're taught, we can understand it, we have an advantage because we have the entire Bible. We can read it, we can understand it. There's commentaries, there's all kinds of people that can explain this. There's not to mention that based on our own experience and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives to teach us. The scripture makes it very plain and clear. This is what Christ said. I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things. Not only comfort you, but teach you all things. Again, it's mysterious, seems like. But he will. And the only way he will is by putting your faith and your trust in him. The only way. And that's why we heard last week, Sunday, that the only name given under heaven is the name of Jesus Christ. That simply means that we must believe in him, we must trust him, we must put our cares and concerns upon him, and he will give us the answers. He will give us the faith. He will pour out his unsearchable riches in our lives. May God bless these few words upon our hearts. Amen.
Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, as we have been reminded of the goodness and kindness of our Lord in this evening hour. And this scripture that's shown us an example of one servant of God who simply was responsive to God's grace and what the Lord revealed to him. And he took that and he shared it. And even as our brother this evening expressed, that the Lord had laid something on his heart, and he wanted to share something. And it was intended, I believe, to remind us and to prick our hearts and thoughts to the love of God, to the mercy of God, and all that he provides for us, and the goodness that we receive through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the same thing happened through Apostle Paul. Paul was called directly by Jesus Christ in a vision. And we know that God could easily reveal himself to every single person, but he chose to take a servant, a willing servant, and send him, go. I'm going to show you what you're going to have to speak to kings. I'm going to show you the things that you're going to have to suffer. And he became a servant that humbled himself before the Lord and took on the power of Jesus Christ and gloried in his infirmities. He gloried in his opportunities where he had freedom to share freely. And he also remembered that he's, at this time, was a prisoner. Whether in his freedom or his beatings or his imprisonments, he served the Lord. We too, who know how much we need the Lord, how much, where we have come from, can be a testimony and an example to others of what the Lord has revealed of his grace to us in our lives, and to let others know that there is hope, there's help, there's healing in Jesus Christ our Savior. Even as it says here in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We could, as it were, to powers and principalities, to the spiritual beings, present the wisdom of God in how we submit to the Lord. That the interactions of members within the church would be a display of God's power, an example of his grace and mercy. I just want to read a few verses from Romans chapter 1 that summarize, I believe, Apostle Paul's attitude about his service that is mentioned in Ephesians 3. When he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What hope, what availability there is. Even as Apostle Paul concluded this section of verses, when he says, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness, and we, no longer speaking of himself, but speaking of the church, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Is there a service that perhaps the Lord has revealed? Is there a need that perhaps he has revealed that when you look at yourself and your abilities, you come up short? But we have access to the help that we need. It's not in self-improvement or in the thoughts of men, but in the heart of God, in his love and his care, in the power that he can provide. And he says, ask, seek, and knock. He's given a promise that we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, to whom be all praise, thanks, and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.